welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, we're going to continue on with the Kingdom of God. I hope you take notes, or I hope you re-listen. You know, the Kingdom of God is, as you've heard me say, key to the church. I'm just opening up this subject with the Kingdom of God, but I will continue with the church, because only when we have an understanding of the Kingdom of God can we start to get an understanding of what the church is about and what our part in that is, because we have a clear understanding of God's objective. So just let me remind you of where we've come so far, or some brief remembrance of the journey to date. We've talked about God's kingdom and based upon the scriptures. We've seen that the Bible says that we are to be conscious of a very important fact, and that is this, that God said, he said that this gospel of the kingdom, this message of the kingdom of God, will be preached in all the earth, then shall the end come. That's the end of anything and everything that we know it to be as it is. That's a dealing by God with the enemy of mankind. So hear what I've said. The Bible says this. If anyone believes the Bible, then we will see that this Bible is truly a lamp to our feet. It lights up the path before us so we can see the right way to walk, the right place to place our feet. And so when it makes a statement like this and it says, the kingdom of God will be preached in all the earth then. In other words, when it's reached all the nations, and there is a witness in every nation of this gospel of the kingdom, when that's happened, then the end's coming. I don't know right now of a nation that hasn't been reached with the gospel. Right down to very small subdivisions of nations like parts of Africa and so on. Middle East. I'm not saying there isn't, but I'm not mindful of one. The gospel has gone throughout the world in an awesome way. And that's the promise of God. He didn't say he's going to reach out and save everybody. He has already saved the world. He has already saved you and me. He's done his part. But whether you are going to be a partaker of that is up to you and me. I have to accept what is done, believe his word, and receive forgiveness. And I'm in the kingdom of God. The Bible says we are translated. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness. That's what the scripture says in Ephesians. And into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I don't know whether, if you're a Christian today, and if you're not a Christian today, I don't know whether you're aware of the fact, because I wasn't, that until I gave my life to Jesus, and only after I gave my life to Jesus, and somewhat after that, did I become aware of the fact that up until I gave my life to Jesus, I was living in the kingdom of darkness, and the one who I bowed the knee to, though unwillingly and unwittingly, was Satan, the god of the kingdom of darkness. I wasn't aware of that. I had, living life. I was born into this life like you were, and we breathe, and there's buses and cars on the road, and life's life. You don't think outside of that. You and I tend to live our lives based upon we see what we see and the thoughts that we get. But it's bigger than that. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In God's kingdom, the priority isn't getting on with daily life. In the kingdom of God, the priority is righteousness, God's right way. That's what righteousness means, simply put. God's right way. God's, not yours, not mine, not somebody else's, God's right way. Hallelujah. Kingdom of God is not about everyday living. It's not about meat and drink. It's not about everyday living. It's about God's right way. Peace and joy. That's what it says. God's right way brings peace and joy. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. The powers of darkness cannot put that down. When you and I are redeemed and we know the promise of God, then my salvation includes peace and joy through walking God's right way. It doesn't matter, the devil can come and catch me or catch you on the hop as a born-again believer, but he's in trouble because I know who I am and where I am. I have been redeemed. I have been forgiven. The price has been paid by Jesus Christ, and I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and I'm living in the kingdom of God's dear Son, where God Almighty is Lord. Hallelujah. And so I reminded you of the fact that the gospel of the kingdom has got to be preached in all the earth, and then he's coming soon. If you read your Bible, you will know that for yourself. Maybe not in detail, but you'll have a sense of that. Maybe even if you don't read your Bible and you've heard people talk about different things that the scripture says, you become aware that we're living in an age when this world is totally upside down. Totally upside down. And when what the scripture says in Matthew and Luke is taking place, there is wars, rumors of wars, there are earthquakes. Whoa, everything is taking place. Everything. He's coming soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gospel has been preached and he's coming soon. The gospel of the kingdom has been preached and he's coming soon. And we need to be ready. The Bible says that's what it is about. The gospel tells us, or the scripture tells us, that the kingdom of God is righteous, God's right way. What does that mean to me? What does it mean to you? Well, as a believer, what it means to me is every day endeavoring to live my day according to this word. It doesn't matter the circumstances that confront me. It doesn't matter whether they're good ones or bad ones. It doesn't matter whether my wife hits me over the head with the frying pan because I didn't get the dishes dried in time. Righteousness, God's way, is peace and joy. And that's within your ability and mine to have. Why? Because greater is he. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all, I'm just quoting your scriptures. As a believer, I can do all things through Christ. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, I have to learn it, and that's this. That is not a truth that has any power here. That won't help you. You can't try and work out, well, you know, I can do all things. Well, yeah, I can do this, I can do this. No, you've got to remember the whole truth. I can do all things through Christ. What does that mean to me? What does he say about this? If you don't read this, you know, you don't know where you're going. And even if you don't read it and you've got a problem, ask somebody or find out, what does the Bible say about this? And I'm going away from where I need to be. The kingdom, the Bible says, is a place of righteousness, peace, and joy. I should read another scripture, but it's gone blank on me. So we have talked about that so far. This kingdom that we are talking about, this kingdom of God, is one of only two kingdoms. Remember, there are many kingdoms in the earth, many. There are various nations that have many kingdoms. As you've heard me say, we are, as a nation, a kingdom. And there's a government over us. It used to be a king, one person. So when we talk about a kingdom, we talk about a place where there's an absolute ruler. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about a sphere of reign where there is one person in control, and that's God, in our sense. So the kingdom of God is a place, a sphere of rule and reign, where He is absolute. He is the one who is in control. And remember, God is love. Fancy having a boss whose total makeup, physiological, mental, spiritual makeup, exudes love all the time. In other words, everything comes from one source, and it's the source which is love. That's who my God is. Every dealing He has with me and mankind comes from who He is. Praise God. And I'm here today, born again of the Spirit of God, having the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you because of His love. We've sung some awesome songs this morning celebrating that one truth. But I'm talking about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is just as He is. It's a kingdom of love. The kingdom of God is a place of righteousness. How is that expressed? Righteousness? God's right way. If you're in the kingdom of God, then live it God's way, not yours. Wife says to me about, not my wife, wife says to me about her husband that, and a Christian wife and a Christian husband, that he did this and he did that, so she backed him over the head with a frying pan. What am I going to say? That's not what the Bible says you should have done. The Bible says you should turn the other cheek. Now I'm just talking in simple, broad brush strokes. But in other words, the kingdom of God is God's right way, not yours and mine. If you haven't read it, and I probably encourage you to read it on a number of occasions, read Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, because there are the laws or the rules of the kingdom of God. Many Christians have no concept of what the kingdom of God should look like in their lives because they don't read the Bible. But if you want to know what the kingdom of God looks like and how you should respond or react to anything in this life, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's laid out there. It's called, for want of another term, the Sermon on the Mount. You may know it better under that title. The Sermon on the Mount. That's where He taught them about the kingdom of God. So this kingdom of God is... I need to turn you somewhere, but I need my glasses. I'm going to turn you to... what do I want to say to you? Well, for time's sake, let's go to the book of Psalms. Let's look at a little bit of the makeup of this kingdom of God. This kingdom of God. Now, turn with me to Psalm 22. I just want to repeat something I've already said this morning, but to keep us on track. And that is, the kingdom of God is one of only two spiritual kingdoms, and it's the spiritual kingdoms that rule this planet. There's only two spiritual kingdoms. One is the kingdom of God, and if He's not ruling it, whether it's in the world, a nation, a family, or an individual life, if He's not ruling it, then it's the other kingdom that's ruled. And that's the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God and His dear Son, Jesus Christ. He has come to give us life, the Bible says, and to give us it more abundantly. That's the kingdom of God. The Bible says of the kingdom of darkness, it says that Satan, he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They're the two kingdoms. Whether you believe that or not, that's the truth. That's a fact. It's not only biblical, but it will be your experience if you stop long enough to check over your life over the last weeks, months, or years. So here are these two kingdoms, and we're in one of them or the other. I'm out of the kingdom of darkness today. I'm in the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I enjoy His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His peace. And I enjoy His righteousness, because as I walk in righteousness, the blessing of the Lord that's upon my life only gets greater and greater and greater. We are able truly then to understand and to apply in our lives, I can do all things through Christ. I can. It doesn't become a mental assent. It becomes a statement that comes out of your mouth because of a belief you have in your heart. I can. It's no boast on me, because listen, I can through Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord, you know, the history of my life, especially in the ministry today, is exactly that. I found that as long as I'm willing to do what He calls me to do and do it, though I feel I can't, through me, He does it. He just wants a vessel. He just wants an instrument. That's all God's looking for, instruments that are available to Him to use, to pluck. Bible says out of our innermost being flows rivers of living water. This is the Spirit of God. This is God Almighty Himself in us that wants to get out. But so often we just curb Him and we tell Him to be stayed, where we actually don't consciously do that, but by our actions we do. We default Him. And we say, this is how it is, and I do it. I do it. I'm going to tell you this for the sake of posterity and the future as well and past as well. It's this, that I fear the Lord with a great love. I and Hillary, we need to hear Him all the time. We would not have been anywhere near where we are today in life with a journey behind us that we've had if that hadn't have been the case. You and I need to be in fellowship with Him. I don't mean you go and pray. You need to pray. I'm talking about fellowship in prayer. I'm not talking about worship. We need to worship Him, but I'm talking about worshiping Him in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who's the one that's to flow through us. I'm talking about not doing anything of major importance without hear from Him. And sometimes, many times, found that needed something else other than me talking. It needed me to fast and pray a lot. I'm talking about what's available to us because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's His. Could you imagine the Queen, where she lives and what she has available to her, disappointing Donald Trump when he came into her palace? I mean, he's talking about it enough now with this wonderful place and this Queen that she did this for me and opened this up for me. Well, what do you think about God's kingdom? God's plan? God's ability? My Lord, it's awesome. Kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of God. So let's look at Psalm 22, and I want to take you to verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations. Now, I'm just going to take you a few scriptures to establish this kingdom of God. The kingdom, this is Old Testament, notice, is the Lord's. And He's well able to look after what's His. The kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over nations. In other words, at the end of the day, devil or no devil, God is in control. You may say, well, if God's in control, why is so much bad taking place? You know, do any of you know the name Matt Munro, singer? Not many of you. A few more hands. For me, is an awesome singer of ballads. Well, he's dead now. But a lovely man, lovely voice, and I was listening to a testimony of his, or maybe some 30 years plus ago. He had died with cancer. He had been very successful, quite a humble man, but very successful and generous. And even Mr. Blue Eyes, what's his name? Well, you know who he is, yeah. He spoke very highly of him, his ability, his voice, and so on. If you haven't heard him, you should get it. He's a great singer. If you want to have a CD to get, it would be called one. Softly, as I leave you, softly. Hear it. But anyway, as I was listening to this testimony, some 30 years plus after he'd gone, here's a man that had seen all aspects of life, a good man, began in the military singing, winning lots of contests, and he went on and on and on to great success. But sickness came on him. Things came on his wife. There's a lot of issues around. And part of his testimony requesting information based upon all that had happened was this, to a very close, trusted friend who shared this testimony. He said, I forget the man's name, but say it was Fred. Fred, what's it all about? What's it all about? What is life about, family? What is it about? Is it about having good days and bad days? Is it about having more better days than bad days? Or is it about what you seem to have more bad days than good days? What is it about? Well, without anybody understanding the kingdom of God and the king of the kingdom, which is God Almighty, you and I will never know. But the kingdom of God, I tell you this, is a place of God's right way, which brings peace and joy all the time and eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory every day here. And when the end comes, heaven, not hell. You see, heaven is reserved for the kingdom of God and the subjects of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of darkness, the subjects of the kingdom of darkness, there's only one place for them. Everlasting damnation. That's what the Bible says. Hell. Hell. So there are only two kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms. It's the kingdom of God and it's the kingdom of Satan. You've heard me say, I didn't know at the time that I was living in the kingdom of darkness and didn't know it. But I've been living in the kingdom of God a long time now. I have the peace of knowing future. I'm going home to heaven's glory. But I've got the joy of a track record here and now that God is love and he never leaves me nor forsakes me or anyone that believes me, him. And every day is a good day. And when the bad days come, we are still more than conquerors, for we can do all things through him. Glory to God. I cannot lose for winning. I cannot lose for winning, nor can any true born again believer. But let's face the truth. There are two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness, there is no mercy, there is no love, there is just one hard dealing of an oppressor who has come to steal, kill, and destroy from you. I should carry on. I'm getting carried away. But the two kingdoms we need to be mindful of. I want to take you to Psalm 145. I want you to get you just a quick picture of the kingdom of God. How vast it is, how sure it is, how safe it is, how strong it is. Psalm 145, I'm going to read from verse 10. All your works, this is the psalmist speaking of God, shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the kingdom of God a lot. And talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. your kingdom, listen to this, is an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. My God is on the throne. He's in complete control. Praise God, and his kingdom can never be ended. It's from everlasting to everlasting, just like my God is. Praise God, and one day, pretty soon, I'm going to join him in his kingdom, literally. Hallelujah. I'm heaven bound. If you see a street go past you as you're walking down the road, look quick because it might be John Nabby on his way back home. I'm serious. Going to happen. I'm going. We often talk about the fact that, and we're exercising our faith on it. We're going to be around when the rapture comes, and we're going to go up holding hands. You've probably heard me say that to you before, but I'm not joking. That's real. You think we can't do that? Oh, just watch and see. Just watch and see. So I'll tell you this, the rapture's not far away. I'm not scaring anybody. I'm just telling you what everything around us has to tell us. If I don't tell you that, you know, I would be as bad as a parent who didn't tell their children not to cross the road when there are buses and vehicles going along it. So, Did I finish reading Psalm 145? Let me see. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Let me just quickly take you to Romans. And I think recently somewhere here in one of the meetings, whether it was a Sunday meeting or with one of the departments, take you to Romans 13. You know, it happens every now and then with me. I've lost the book of Romans. I've got it. Romans 13. Romans 13, I want to read the first three verses. Let every soul, does that include you and me? Let every soul be subject, does that include the unsaved as well as the saved? I think so. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whosoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So here we have we're informed that the authority of God is from everlasting to everlasting. Everything that is happening on the planet, the authority of God is involved there. And if you and I and the world aren't listening, aren't having a witness of that, it's because we're not listening. But God is in absolute control. Nobody gets away with anything, and if they do that which is wrong, they're going to reap the whirlwind. But God's in control. That means we can, if we're, especially as Christians, when we pray for our new prime minister, have the prime minister that God has purposed and ordained for us, because he's in absolute control. We can know that. We can believe it. See, everything is by faith. You know, by faith brings me to mind, in our reading, one of our readings during the week, it was Luke 6:38. It says this, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what it says. And we were looking at this and considering it. But listen to what it says again. It says, give. Now, that's the first thing you got to do, isn't it? Give. If you're not a giver, then the rest can't happen. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You know, there are loads and loads of Christians that don't believe that. They don't believe that it will be given unto you if you give. How will it be given? It says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I tell you, if you gave that much, you're going to get this much back. But that's the Bible says there. It says give. And you know, there are thousands of Christians who don't believe that. I'm not saying that they don't give. There are thousands of Christians that don't give. But the Christians that do give don't believe what the Word says. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. They don't expect it. They don't expect it. They don't expect God's Word to come true. They don't expect God that says, if you give, God's putting the onus on Him. I will cause men to give into your bosom. But you see, the only way you can receive the word is by believing it. You'd never get saved unless you believe the promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will hear and answer you. You'll never get right with God in any setting. And as we were considering that, there are those that don't even believe it because they say, I don't give to get. Huh? Why don't you? If God says so, why don't you and I give to get? In other words, I've used a deliberately provocative word with you there, to get. But listen, God said it this way. He says, give, and I will cause man to give. And you, who's he talking about? Who's the emphasis on? You or who? Him. He says, I will. But everything works by faith. Oh, but I don't give for that. Well, listen, you're in rebellion with God. You're in rebellion with God. You do not believe the word of God and you're calling God a liar. For he said, if you give and you believe what I've said, I will cause men to give in your bosom. Believe it. To receive that, you've got to believe what he said. And believing can only be demonstrated one way. And that's by expecting. If you don't expect the increase, you don't know where it's going to come from, but God said, I will. If you don't expect it, you can't get it because everything works by faith. And then I got onto that. I was talking about the kingdom. Oh yes, the kingdom, the authority of God goes right the way through. You know, so God's authority is unlimited. It is from everlasting to everlasting. But you wonder why we're in the situation we are in. It's simply because the earth that we're living on, this planet, this earth that we're living in, is a scene of unbelievable rebellion against God. That's what's happening on our planet. There cannot be what I'm talking about because the planet's in rebellion against God. And if they're in rebellion against God, the other kingdom is able to take advantage of the fact that they're not interested in God, so he sends them some attractive packages in the post, and they're glad to pick them up. And so without knowing it, they start to serve the kingdom of darkness. They start to serve Satan. You know, when I think of the state that we're in on the planet today, universal rebellion against God is exactly where we're at. People don't even know why they're rebelling against Him. People don't even know why they call Him the names for not doing this and helping these people or these little babies dying or that happened. They don't even know why. And that's because they are tuned in to another, the only other kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. Not the kingdom of light, not the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of love, the kingdom of darkness. And so they're trapped in this kingdom of darkness and they have no awareness of what God has made available to them. So they're controlled. Their lifestyle isn't the one that God's called them to. The success isn't the one that they're experiencing, that God has planned for them. And the kingdom of darkness rules the planet today. Let me take you to Luke 4. Luke 4, verses 5 and 6. You know why the kingdom of darkness is so predominant? Let me show you. I'm going to take you to Jesus being tempted 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. I'm going to take you to verse 1 of chapter 4. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, this was with John the Baptist, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is Luke 4. Being tempted, verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry. That's the 40 days. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Let me just stop. It's not my objective, but let me just stop long enough to say, and you'll have heard me say it before, because this is the devil that so many people unknowingly serve. Jesus had been fasting. He had been fasting for 40 days. They say after 40 days fast, you enter into starvation and you'll die. And here he comes out of the wilderness. Satan's tempting him. And one of the first thing he tempts him with is food. Food. If he'd have had any food, anything solid at all, in any shape or form, it would have killed him. Satan was after his life right there. And that's how low the devil, the god of this world, is. The god of the kingdom of darkness is. But let's follow on. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, he was too smart for him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now these aren't spiritual kingdoms, these are earthly kingdoms. In a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you." Listen to his boast. "All this authority I will give you, and this their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." What's Satan saying to Jesus? He says, "I've got authority to give you anything you want." He says, "Because it's all been delivered to me." Do you know who delivered it to him? It wasn't God. God in the beginning, as you know the story, created Adam and Eve, and there they were, and God told them how to live and how to function and how to stay in the blessing. You know, they were in the garden there. He said you could eat of any fruit of the tree in the garden except for the fruit of the trees of the knowledge of good and evil. When they went there and the devil whittled his way along there and talked to them, and said, "Can you eat of any of these trees?" He says, "Yes, except for those two." And the devil says, "Why can't you?" He says, "God says you will surely die if you eat of those trees." Ah, he just doesn't want you to enjoy those fruits. Message like that. And so wifey, good old wifey, she gets the apple and she bites into it. And she then gives it to hubby, who should know better. Men, head your homes out. Get in touch with God, because you cannot head your home out but until you've got God with you and you understand God's plan for your life and for your family and the way to lead your family. And so she handed it over to hubby, who, to please his wife, chewed onto it. And the minute that they did that, the devil said to him, "You see, told you, God's a liar. You see, you haven't died." But the issue was, they died in their spirit, man, immediately. Their body was carrying on. You know, this planet has got more people unsaved walking around who are dead inside. Their spirit, man, is dead. They're dead in their trespass and in sins. And here was Satan saying to Jesus, all this has been delivered to me. How was it delivered to him? By God? No. Man chose Satan over God. God told them what to do. Don't touch those two trees. The devil came along and says, you can, and they did it. And so we have the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. And the world has given to Satan the authority. And so majority of the world lives without knowing it in his kingdom and under his command. They don't even know it. Do you not feel sorry for them? Well, if you really do, you should tell people about Jesus. You should tell them that they're living in the kingdom of darkness. If I'd have known, even before I was saved and I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 21, I'd have been around telling people. I would have. Telling people. If you really believe that, tell people. This afternoon, don't go preaching the gospel. Take the first step this afternoon. Start talking to people. Making a relationship. Let the warmth be there. Let them sense friendship. Let them sense what nice people or person this is. And preach the gospel there. Get a point where you can share the gospel. May not even be this afternoon. Maybe arrange to have a cup of coffee or whatever. But we should be out there. But Satan has hoodwinked the planet. So this kingdom of darkness, majority of the world is in it. Of course, you're either in one or the other kingdom. You're either in the kingdom of God's dear Son or you're in the kingdom of darkness. And Satan is in control. And so those are the two kingdoms. I'm closing it this morning there because my purpose in bringing us to look at the kingdom of God is that we may understand and learn something awesome about the church and its purpose. And how that's to function. I think you'll be amazed as you see these two forces, these two realms, the kingdom of God and the church. Praise the Lord. Church isn't just a place you go to, you know. It is dynamic. It is awesome. I'm getting excited about even thinking about what we're going to talk about when we talk about the kingdom and the church.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.